Having grown up with the musical Godspell, each time I hear Jesus' words, "You are the salt of the earth," my mind immediately pictures street mimes and clowns and happy tunes play over and over through my head. I'll spare you my rendition. Hopefully, some of you are familiar with that musical. It's happy. It's upbeat for the most part. Jesus and his followers have fun, and it rubs off on those who are brought into the moment with them. And while Godspell is one person's almost satirical take on the Gospel of Matthew, I honestly believe that Jesus would like it. I don't think that the call to follow Christ is a call to a dismal existence. That's not to say we should ignore the fact that we are far from perfect or deny the fact that we sin, but to purely focus on our fallen nature and the historical evidence that, left to our own devices, we would fail miserably and certainly be doomed, doesn't seem to be what Jesus' focus is on. Jesus says things like, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Never once do I remember Jesus telling someone that he or she is going to burn in hell for all eternity. Remember the young ruler Jesus told to sell everything and follow him? The rich young man went away. It was too much for him, it seems. That is the one thing he just couldn't do, sell everything. But even then, we hear no mention of his fate. Jesus never said, "If you don't sell everything, you're going to hell." We might surmise that his existence without Christ was hell, but Jesus never said so. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Not, "You can be the salt of the earth," or "You could be the light of the world if only you would." He said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And because Jesus said those things to his followers, we should spend some time thinking about what that might mean, both then and now. First, let's look at salt. For us, it's a very common substance. It's found on every table, which, according to the FDA, is not such a good thing. I heard on the radio earlier this week that the FDA has issued new guidelines about the salt intake of Americans, among other things. The new guidelines state that we are to ingest no more than 1/2 teaspoon of salt a day, total. What does that mean to those of us who are called and told that we are the salt of the earth? Should we make the words of Jesus a little more timely so they read, "You are the Mrs. Dash of the earth"? Just doesn't really work, does it? I would imagine that there are Christians in our world today accusing the FDA of being part of an anti-Christian conspiracy. You know, telling us we shouldn't have so much salt in our diets. If salt is another word for Christian, then the FDA must be trying to support an anti-Christian movement in our nation. I know that sounds absurd to rational people like you and me. But if you get some of the same theories forwarded to you on email that I do, you can imagine how this might just be the next wave. So let's look at the idea of salt in another way. We know salt can raise our blood pressure. So if salt equals Christian, are we saying that Christians have the potential to raise blood pressure? Well, sometimes that's not an entirely bad thing. I know some Christians that raise my blood pressure. A slight elevation in blood pressure can serve to motivate me, to cause me to do something, rather than remain stationary and stagnant. Even with the potential hazards of salt, there are still many positives. Salt adds flavor. It's used as a preservative. It can be quite helpful in large amounts when there's ice and snow on the roads. And although salt is very commonplace to us, when Jesus told his followers they were salt of the earth, it was a very valuable commodity. You are a very valuable commodity. You have the ability to add flavor, to preserve goodness, to make a difference. You are the salt of the earth. You might even raise the blood pressures of those around you and motivate them into action in the name of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? Salt has a lot of power when used correctly, but can be hazardous if misused. The same is true of the good news of Christ. Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world." That had been said of him too. When Jesus was brought to the temple to be presented not long after his birth, Simeon told his parents he would be a light to enlighten the nations. Here, Jesus is passing that on to his followers. You are the light of the world. Certainly we know the benefits of light. If you've ever spent any time at all in a power outage, you know how much you appreciate electricity. Obviously, when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," there was no electricity. Light was greatly appreciated. Nighttime could be very dark, and with darkness comes uncertainty, and with uncertainty comes fear. Light gives hope. Things are not hidden in the light. Light brings everything out of the shadows and into plain view. Light is in all ways positive and hopeful and forward-looking. The light at the end of the tunnel, the beam of light coming out of the clouds. You are the light of the world. You give hope to a world in need of hope. Note again here, Jesus did not say, "You could be the light of the world if only you would," or "You might have been the light of the world if you hadn't." He says, "You are the light of the world." It's a done deal. You are it, salt and light. You are valuable and full of hope to offer the world. You. Then Jesus says, "Don't hide it. Don't deny it. Don't put your light under a bushel." So often we take these words as a reference to some particular gift or talent that we have. So often preachers use these words to encourage people to sing in the choir, or teach Sunday school, or run for vestry, or whatever. And all of those things are very important and necessary to the building up of the body. But they're not exactly what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a relationship with him, a relationship with God. Because we are God's children, we are salt of the earth and the light of the world. Because we have received the gift given to all God's children, we can bring that salt and light to the world. We are to bring that salt and light to the world, not to condemn the world, nor to keep the salt and light to ourselves. That would be hiding it under a bushel basket. Jesus came to the world to bring the world to Him, to God, back to the way that God created it to be. You are salt. You are light. You are good and valuable, and so is everybody else. Go out from here and spread that news. Amen.